Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We've come now to the part of Romans chapter 16 where Paul extends greetings from his companions to the church at Rome. After spending a number of verses extending his greetings to the people who are at Rome. In other words, greeting individuals who are members of the church at Rome by name, he now names some of the people who are with him who want to be remembered to the church at Rome. And so we read in verse 21, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. And so we are looking at these names, and we have paused at that first name of Timothy because here's a wonderful reminder of how God prepares leaders for his church. We wonder sometimes where the leaders will come from. Well, Timothy is a wonderful reminder that God is fully able to raise up leaders for his church. It is his church, after all. And though we do have responsibility for it and concern for it, and we ought to be concerned about identifying and developing leaders for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must also realize that it is God who takes the ultimate responsibility for this. Christ said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so we've already seen in the case of Timothy, number one, his sovereign preparation. How God prepared him in his hometown, his family circle, and his church fellowship for leadership even before Paul was aware that there was a man named Timothy. So first of all, Timothy's sovereign preparation. Secondly, Timothy's faithful assisting. And we note how that Paul took Timothy and kept him with him, trained him, in this personal relationship of close fellowship, close training, close mentoring, is the word we use today, for really a matter of some years, giving Timothy increasing responsibilities but keeping him close at hand, very much like Christ trained his apostles, right? Really, very much the same process. Paul was doing that now with Timothy. So step one, Timothy's sovereign preparation, the preparation that went on before Paul ever found him. And that's true of all leaders. God orchestrates all of the details of our lives. The families we are born into, the countries that we are born into, the cities that we are born into and raised up in, the churches that we are raised up in, and all the different ingredients which God packs into our lives and uses that to form us, to shape us, to mold us before we ever get what might be called formal training, formal education, ministerial training, before we ever go off to seminary or wherever it is that we're going to receive formal training for Christian leadership. So first step, Timothy's sovereign preparation. Second step, Timothy's faithful assisting. And that'll bring us to the third step that we're going to talk about today, Timothy's effective leadership. But let me simply pause before we go to that third step to remind you in regard to Timothy's faithful assisting that good assistants often become great leaders. Not always, but often they do. But bad assistants never become good leaders. Shall I say that again? Good assistants often become good leaders, but bad assistants never become good leaders. And so if you would hope someday to be used of God in a leadership capacity in the work of the Lord, then the first thing you need to do is find an area of service where you are basically an assistant, where you are laboring under the leadership of somebody else, and get in there and serve them, help them, assist them, and do it until God moves you someplace else, until God says you're ready for something else. And only God can determine how long that will be. Don't resent that. Don't chafe at that. Don't be jealous about other people who have been given places of leadership. Just be faithful. Faithful in the little things. Faithful in assisting. Faithful in serving God by serving others. If you do that well and learn the lessons of assisting along the way, you will probably eventually become a faithful and dependable leader that God will use in His service in some other way. But bad assistants never become good leaders. And I can document that from my own personal observation over and over and over again. But now, after a period of time where Timothy faithfully assisted the Apostle Paul, we come to the third step, which is Timothy's effective leadership. Now Timothy is becoming a Christian leader in his own right. We see that very clearly in the first and second epistles of Timothy, where Paul is writing to Timothy in a leadership capacity. And listen, for example, to 1 Timothy 1:3, when Paul said, "I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Paul had sent Timothy to Ephesus to provide leadership, to oversee the church at Ephesus, to take charge of the church there, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, the picture that we get is that the church at Ephesus was facing some severe challenges. When Paul left the church at Ephesus, when he had his famous beachfront meeting with the Ephesian elders that we read about in the book of Acts, it seems that things were running pretty smoothly in Ephesus. Paul left the church in good shape. Paul left the church with good leadership, with men who could be identified as godly elders, qualified elders of the church at Ephesus. Well, then why do they need special help, special supervision? Why do they need an apostolic emissary like Timothy to go in and provide leadership? Well, I don't know all the details, but obviously there were some that were teaching false doctrine, and apparently it was more than the elders were able to handle. And that's why we read in 1 Timothy 1:3, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes," and so forth. And so Paul has sent Timothy to Ephesus to plug a pretty big hole in the dike and to provide oversight and leadership. Timothy is now going to take the leadership role, the leading leadership role in the city of Ephesus at the direction of the Apostle Paul. In other words, he's going to not only exercise leadership over the congregation and is going to exercise leadership in opposing those who are teaching false doctrine, presumably members of the Ephesian church. So this is going to be a very challenging, difficult, and delicate matter. But Timothy is obviously exercising leadership over the elders who are already in place in the Ephesian church. Which does, I think, suggest some things about government, church government, and church structure. This is one of the most controversial areas, you know, of probably anything in church differences. There are a number of things that divide Bible-believing churches in relation to modes of baptism and various things, but probably the details of church government is as divisive as any possible thing. Hopefully it won't be divisive. It really doesn't need to be, but it will divide churches and divide congregations, as one church will adopt this style and one will adopt another style, and each will stoutly defend its style and defend it from Scripture. Ours is the most biblical. No, ours is the most biblical. No, ours is the most biblical. And there is a style of leadership in which it is defended that all of the elders will have equal authority. This is sometimes called parity. A plurality of elders, and nobody recognized as having greater authority than any of the others. And there are two problems that I've observed with that. Number one is that it really doesn't work. I'm sorry, but it doesn't work. And even where you see that arrangement seeming to work well, you will find that somebody is exercising recognized leadership among the leaders. Maybe nobody's admitting that openly. Maybe the picture that is being presented is that this is absolute parity and equality among the men who are elders. But if you get into that inner circle and find out what's going on, you will always find out that somebody is exercising a great deal more influence and authority than anybody else. And that's just the way it is. It works that way, and I think the reason it works that way is because that's the way human nature is, and God indicates that that's the way that it ought to be. And here's one of these indications that God's plan is not necessarily for there to be the theory of absolute parity among elders. In other words, there's nothing wrong with recognizing one elder as being a leader among the elders. And we see that several times in Scripture, and one of them is right here. Timothy was sent to Ephesus to take control, to take charge. I would gather that the elders probably had requested that. Now, it's likely that among those elders there was a recognized leader. We don't know who it was. There's no indication of that in Scripture. But just because I see that where there is an indication, where we do get more information, I would rather imagine that the same would be true in this situation. But there's no scriptural warrant for my saying that. You can argue the opposite scripturally just as much as I can, because it's impossible to say. But here we see that Timothy is clearly in charge, clearly sent into that situation to become the leading pastor, the leading elder, the recognized leader among the leaders of that church. And all that to say that Timothy obviously has risen to a position and qualification for amazing leadership. We're talking about how God raises up leaders. Look at this young man who came out of nowhere, who assisted the Apostle Paul for many years. Look what he's doing now. He's providing the headship, leadership of the church at Ephesus in a very difficult time. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.